Republican Al Haig is the first casualty of the 1988 presidential race. As Haig pulled out, he threw his support to Senator Bob Dole, who claims to be rapidly closing the gap in New Hampshire, pulling into a virtual dead heat with Vice President George Bush. While Bush struggles to hold on to his frontrunner status, Massachusetts Governor Michael Dukakis appears headed for a win on the Democratic side. After New Hampshire's voters speak on Tuesday, others may join Haig on the political casualty list.
It was a good night for Iowa's neighbors. Kansas Republican Senator Bob Dole coming out on top in his party's non-binding straw poll.
Thank you.
Missouri Democratic Congressman Richard Gephardt, number one in his party's county convention delegate selection. In a state where Republicans aren't overly fond of Ronald Reagan, Dole outpolled Vice President George Bush 2-1. The surprise was that Pat Robertson also beat Bush to come in second in the secret ballot straw poll.
All of this is going to mobilize and crystallize support in New Hampshire, but particularly in the South. The people in the South are with me on the issue. They just wanted to see if I could win someplace else. And coming out of here, this is...
Robertson's organization was the key.
I think that Pat was responsible to bring a lot of new people out, not only of individuals who haven't participated in the process before in Iowa, but perhaps more importantly from our standpoint, I think he's attracted a lot of Democrats to the Republican Party.
Supporters at Bush's Iowa headquarters glumly watched Robertson on television as the results came in. Their man wasn't there, and he wasn't happy.
I guess the results aren't such a surprise, but I'd like to have done better.
And Bush admitted the Robertson people in Iowa simply out-hustled his own. Congressman Jack Kemp came in a distant fourth.
Iowa has given us a fourth place, a double digit, a strong position. We're off to New Hampshire.
Pete DuPont, who'd played Iowa more than any other Republican, and Al Haig, who'd been a non-player in Iowa, were even farther behind in the balloting. Richard Gephardt parlayed a new populist message into the top spot on the Democratic side.
This is our America, and our America does care.
That's a Simon line, and Paul Simon was right behind him in a tightly bunched field that had 80% of the vote going to Gephardt, Simon, and Dukakis.
For someone who started out in the first Des Moines Register poll at 1%, who wasn't given a chance when I announced that's not bad.
Jesse Jackson and Bruce Babbitt took care of another 15% between them. Gary Hart, who jumped back in the race in December, got less than 1% support from caucus attendees and said he was disappointed but not discouraged. The morning after voters went to Iowa's caucuses, most of the candidates went to Iowa's airports on their way to the new fight in New Hampshire. Bob Dole, who took the top spot in the non-binding Republican straw poll, called Pat Robertson's besting of George Bush icing on the cake. But he downplayed Robertson's potential impact in next week's primary.
I think it's a Bush-Dole contest in New Hampshire. I think you just take out those Robertson numbers and go to work from there. You know, I don't see him doing well in New Hampshire.
Neither, publicly, does Robertson, who got one out of four straw poll votes largely by recruiting new people to attend the Iowa caucuses.
So I would be happy coming out of New Hampshire with a third. So the fight will be to see whether I can get second place.
While Robertson uses Jesse Jackson-like rhetoric in talking about a new coalition backing him, he admits to being an underdog in a primary state. So he sees his big challenge to Bush and Dole in a southern state with open balloting just before the so-called Super Tuesday next month.
I'm throwing the gauntlet down in South Carolina, a major state, a major primary, a crossover primary where Democrats and Republicans can participate together.
George Bush, who came in third in Iowa, was first on the ground in New Hampshire, praising Robertson for his performance, but putting the past behind him.
I think he out-hustled us, and from what I've heard just from talking out there, I think he did a very good job on that. And, you know, so got to be sure that we do that same kind of job and better right here in the state of New Hampshire.
Among Republicans, Bush, who placed third in Iowa, is favored to take New Hampshire. Michael Dukakis, who also ran third, is the Democrat to beat.
We've proven here that we can compete with the best of them a long way from home. Now we go back to New England. Having won the bronze here, we're going for the gold next week. And if we win in New Hampshire, we're going to be on our way.
So Richard Gephardt, tops in Iowa with nearly 40% of the Democratic caucus vote, isn't holding his breath for New Hampshire.
We'll be lucky to come in second. I think we can do it.
Paul Simon, who came in second in Iowa just a few percentage points behind Gephardt, is publicly both optimistic and realistic.
We have to do well, and I think we will do well.
Jesse Jackson got about a tenth of the caucus-goer vote in Iowa to come in fourth. He's happy, but like Robertson, he's looking beyond New England to his area of strength.
To look forward to the challenge of New Hampshire and Minnesota, and then on to the South, and then on to industrial states.
Al Gore's brushing off Iowa completely to concentrate on the Southern primaries next month.
There are 52 delegates at stake in Iowa. There are 1,400 delegates at stake on Super Tuesday.
No, it's not a last stand at all, but I want to win this one.
Well, it always feel good when you're gaining. Feel good anyway. It's a nice day. Let's keep on working.
Retired General Al Haig became the first casualty of the 88 presidential campaign on Friday.
I'm therefore announcing today my withdrawal as a candidate for the Republican presidential nomination and my support for the candidate best qualified to lead this nation.
Senator Bob Dole said he was grateful for the endorsement in the midst of his close race with Vice President George Bush. Bush's lead over Dole in the Boston Globe's poll has shrunk drastically since the Iowa caucuses. The same poll shows Pat Robertson and Congressman Jack Kemp fighting it out for third place.
Senator Robert Dole was basking in the glow of warm applause and even warmer poll results.
Well, it always feel good when you're gaining. Feel good anyway. It's a nice day. Just keep on working.
How tight is it here?
I don't know. The poll show, it's pretty close.
The latest poll showed that Vice President Bush's advantage over 20 points in some surveys just a week ago had all but evaporated in the New England snows.
What was once a runaway is now a very competitive race.
The confidence in the Dole camp was in stark contrast to the Vice President's organization here. Just days ago, thought impregnable, now plainly on the defensive.
So I'm working my heart out up here, and I'm asking for your help. I intend to take the oath of office, and as I raise that hand, I intend to be thinking four words. Thank you, New Hampshire.
But despite the discouraging polls, Bush denied that New Hampshire would be his last hurrah.
No, it's not a last stand at all, but I want to win this one.
Despite the aura of disillusionment, the vice president is better financed and organized for an extended campaign. In addition, Bush staffers revealed they had bought an extensive amount of television time.
Emerging Dole strategy appears to be a two-edged sword to position the candidate as a political man for all seasons. In his own words, strong but sensitive. And to prepare for an onslaught of anti-Dole ads, mostly on oil import fees and taxes. For the vice president, the task is much simpler, to reinstill his campaign with some sense of confidence. Confidence that until a few days ago, the campaign had in abundance.
Jack Kemp and Pat Robertson are clearly competing against each other for the conservative vote and third place in New Hampshire's Republican primary. But Kemp is on the attack against Bob Dole and, to a lesser degree, George Bush.
Senator Dole has never met a tax hike that he didn't like. He and George Bush have gone along with every single tax increase in the 1980s.
What about Iowa's surprise, Pat Robertson?
And I take a backseat to no one, including Pat, in supporting the pro-family, pro-peace through strength ideas.
Pat Robertson does not have the high expectations in New Hampshire he had in Iowa. The students at Colebrook Academy placed Robertson fourth in their mock election. They've held one for 8 years and always been right.
There is no question where Pat Robertson fits on the political spectrum.
If you want a conservative in the White House, I'm the man.
But the Robertson campaign is so much founded on the rock of his religious career that preaching and politicking are hard to separate.
Did you're my campaign manager.
He's got everything for
you. This gentleman over here could maybe use one of these tapes.
Yes, sir.
Oh, thanks, Danny. God's going to heal the man.
Robertson bristles at the suggestion that he is a TV evangelist turned politician. He asks to be called a businessman and religious broadcaster. One minister, a Republican, sees him as a preacher with too powerful a medium.
There's something about fundamentalists who take a stand that to me appears to be rigid and imposing views on everyone that I don't find works in a pluralistic society.
Church and state may be separate, but Robertson wants to restore God and country.
The love and faith of God Almighty, we must go back to those fundamental principles which were enunciated so clearly at the foundation of this nation.
The old political pros, the old GOP pros in New Hampshire and nationwide fear Pat Robertson more than anybody at this point. Iowa showed they had something to fear.
Robertson sets a tough standard, and some think he can surprise again.
Fundamentalists are susceptible to charisma, and Jack kept us to have charisma, and Pat Robertson does.
Is he hurting me in New Hampshire? The answer to that is no.
The difference here is that Kemp has yet to demonstrate strength and needs to. Robertson already has in Iowa, and after New Hampshire has a potential stronghold in the South to look forward to.
On the Democratic side in New Hampshire, Massachusetts Governor Michael Dukakis holds a decided lead in the latest polls. The fight appears to be for second place. And Congressman Richard Gephardt's win in Iowa has given him a sharp boost in this week's Boston Globe poll.
Iowa's winner went straight to a rally in Manchester, New Hampshire. But is Iowa's victor the Democratic frontrunner here?
Clearly the underdog. Mike Dukakis is the clear favorite. The polls show that.
Gephardt won narrowly in Iowa on the strength of rural and blue-collar votes. But New Hampshire has felt less Iowa's problems of farm woes and industrial unemployment.
It's a populist message, but it's a message that is very appealing to Americans, not just in the Midwest, but in the Northeast, in the South, across the country. People want to have a sense that politicians are on their side.
It's time again to invest in America. And it's time to tell the forces of greed, enough is enough.
Gephardt repeatedly hammers that line, but his audience has not picked up the chant yet.
Next Tuesday.
I'm going to do well.
But since Gephardt is already conceding New Hampshire to Dukakis, it may well be that the congressman's best objective here is to try to knock Paul Simon out of the race.
We want Paul! We want Paul!
The message Simon is now trying to send is he isn't out of the race just because he didn't win Iowa. He claims a second-place finish there provides enough momentum to remain competitive. Insiders say the campaign may be in trouble. Simon staffers are concerned the money could be drying up.
I've always had some trouble in financing campaigns. I have a great voting record for the people of the nation. It is not a great voting record for getting campaign contributions. We're going to struggle, but we're going to make it. And the very fact that we're going to raise something in excess of $100,000 here in New York tonight is another indication that our campaign is very viable and it is going ahead.
It was a homecoming for Massachusetts Governor Michael Dukakis. In Iowa, he finished behind both Richard Gephardt and Paul Simon, but back home in New England, Dukakis attempted to play down, coming in third, promising a comeback.
The winner isn't usually the first guy to get out there ahead. He's almost always the one that's near the front of the pack who can go the whole distance. That's us, and that's just what we're going to do.
Both Paul Simon and Richard Gephardt have all but conceded the state to Massachusetts Governor Michael Dukakis, but the finish behind him has turned into a battle of verbal barrages. First, it was Simon taking a swing at Gephardt, accusing him of flip-flopping on nuclear policy in a state where the Seabrook power plant is a major issue.
Differences on the nuclear issue, where my stand has been a consistent one through the years. It's not changed because there's an election coming along.
It didn't take long for Gephardt to respond. While touring a senior citizen center in Manchester, he said he was against the Seabrook power plant, but at the same time accused the Simon campaign
like
of distorting his voting record.
I think he's listening too much to his advisors, who are telling him that he's got to say some things that I don't think he really believes. I think Paul Simon knows that I am and have had a strong record on environmental and nuclear issues. I think he knows that. I also think that, you know, if Paul wants to disagree and talk about issues, I'm more than willing to do that, but I don't want him questioning motive.
The hair pulling, however, isn't limited to the candidates squaring off for second place in New Hampshire. Michael Dukakis also took a swing at Simon, accusing him of being on a trip down memory lane.
I always have a feeling with Paul sometimes that he's talking about the 40s and 50s. We're talking about the 90s of the 21st century.
I am old-fashioned in believing in an old-fashioned virtues of caring and pay-as-you-go government. You bet I'm old-fashioned, but that's the kind of future we have to build.
So the gloves are definitely off in the battle for second place in New Hampshire. Paul Simon is using the Seabrook nuclear power plant issue as a powerful right cross, a right cross he hopes will knock Dick Gephardt to the mat.
George Bush could afford to be a loser of the week in Iowa, but that's not true of New Hampshire. A second place to Bob Dole here, and we'll be making the vice president our loser of the year.
Bob Dole is leading the fight to ratify President Reagan's INF treaty while making sure the Russians don't cheat. George Bush has nothing to do with it.
Depending on your point of view, the news was either good for Pat Robertson or bad for George Bush. By finishing a disappointing third, the vice president puts his national frontrunner status in dire jeopardy. Bush now faces a tough head-to-head contest in New Hampshire with the man who won the GOP contest in Iowa, Bob Dole. Robertson now gains bragging rights over the conservative wing of the party, and he sets up a showdown in New Hampshire with Jack Kemp. For the Democrats, the story was not one but two Lazarus acts. After falling as low as 6% in the polls late last year, Dick Gephardt came all the way back to first place. And Paul Simon, jolted by the return of Gary Hart, made it back to second. Mike Dukakis said he was happy with the bronze medal, but that meant third place, and the pressure's now on him to live up to his front-runner status in his own backyard. For Jesse Jackson, the news was good. He drew 10% of the white vote, and if he can do that in the South next month, he'll be the toast of Super Tuesday.
Well, we'll intersperse our visits in New Hampshire with Vermont and Maine, the northeastern area. But on tomorrow, we will go to Alabama.
Al Gore was also looking away to Dixieland, hoping to erase the embarrassment of finishing behind Mario Cuomo in Iowa.
Super Tuesday will see the selection of 40% of the delegates on one day. After Super Tuesday, we'll have a much clearer view of where this battle for the nomination is going.
Somewhere in the skies between Iowa and New Hampshire, we've seen big changes in the candidates of both parties in style and substance alike. Bob Dole's a brand new man. After his one of us moderate message in Iowa, Dole's now nothing less than Ronald Reagan's prime minister. Dole's on a dash to the right in conservative New Hampshire, playing up his support for Star Wars and Contra Aid. In New Hampshire, unlike Iowa, Dole wants to be the heir to Reagan's legacy.
Bob Dole is leading the fight to ratify President Reagan's INF treaty while making sure the Russians don't cheat. George Bush has nothing to do with it.
Meanwhile, that sometime Texan George Bush was reduced to borrowing the favorite son theme that Dole left behind in the Midwest.
I was born in Massachusetts, grew up in Connecticut, live across the way or have a home across the way in Maine, and I understand New Hampshire.
Across the political aisle, the Democrats were beginning to sound a little more like, well, like the Republicans a week ago in Iowa, scrappy and personal. After sticking to issues in Iowa, the normally low-key Paul Simon jumped on Dick Gephardt for flip-flopping on nuclear power, and Simon accused Mike Dukakis of wanting to be a national manager rather than president. Dukakis ate clam chowder, admitted he has to win at home next Tuesday, and predicted a more aggressive campaign. He then made his forecast an accurate one by jumping on Gephardt's proposals for an oil import fee and trade retaliation.
And we're kidding ourselves if we think that that kind of a policy is going to help us to grow and create good jobs and expand opportunity.
Bush is the most interesting candidate in New Hampshire this week. He's wounded, but he's far from dead, and everybody's watching to see what he'll do next. The vice president's out of his Air Force Two cocoon and pressing the flesh. Like most politicians in trouble, he's sought the touch of the voters, a little direct communication, even if it means talking with his mouth full.
Bush has also searched for a political base, a place to call home, but he's had a problem.
I know this country. I was born in a neighboring state. I grew up in New England.
I happen to come out of Texas, and Texas is my home, and I understand the energy business.
I understand New England. If it wouldn't be plagiarizing and get me and Joe Biden in trouble, I'd say I'm one of you.
Actually, Bush lives in Washington, and his real political anchor is President Reagan, a point that's made in ads.
Experience counts.
And in speeches, too.
Then I've stood with this president through thick and thin, never having the luxury nor wanting it to jump away from him when the going got tough.
But if the message is the same, the tactics are shifting. Borrowing a leaf from Dick Gephardt in Iowa, the vice president is pulling staffers and volunteers into New Hampshire by the dozens from around the country. And Bush is spending most of his waking hours in New Hampshire, too. He's skipping a trip to New Orleans, figuring the South can wait for Super Tuesday. The vice president tried tooting his own horn, and he hoped to give himself a lift, whatever it took to change his image. But the polls now show Bush and Dole running neck and neck, heading for Tuesday's showdown in the New Hampshire primary. George Bush could afford to be a loser of the week in Iowa, but that's not true of New Hampshire. A second place to Bob Dole here, and we'll be making the vice president our loser of the year.
And then there were 12. The big story this week. I'm Ralph Wenge, CNN.